John chapter 3, and so it is Christmas Sunday, so the theme is going to be the birth of Christ today, and so we're going to be in John chapter 3, and we're going to look at the message of Christmas, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 in the morning service, and I think all of us know here this morning what the purpose, true purpose of Christmas is. You know, it's not Santa Claus, it's not all these things that the world says it is, or just getting together as family, or the giving of gifts, but it is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And just as every holiday has a message that it communicates, I think it's important for us to understand that different holidays communicate different things. 4th of July communicates the celebration of independence of our country. Veterans Day communicates honor for those that have served our military. Memorial Day is a holiday to commemorate and to remember those who have died in the service of our country, defending our freedom. And on we could go. Thanksgiving, what is it for? It's to communicate our thanksgiving to God. You know, we just say we're thankful. But originally, when it was first proclaimed by George Washington, it was a day to commemorate thanksgiving to Almighty God for what He has done and what He has provided in our land and in our country. So I think we have to understand that, what does Christmas communicate? Now, that's become a little bit more confusing as you look around you. You know, you look at the advertisements on TV, you see the advertisements in Walmart. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but really the stores, especially Walmart, are just skipping over Thanksgiving. You go from Halloween, day after Halloween, you know what they have? They don't have Thanksgiving decorations up. They have Christmas decorations up. And they'll have a little teeny tiny Thanksgiving section. So, man, leave it to the young men. Bang, bang, bang. You know. You guys know how to open a table quietly back there? All right. Man, it sounds like they're beating somebody up. Bam, bam. In between the boys and the wasps and everything. Man, I don't know. I need insurance or something. But here. But you look at Walmart, you go different places, you know, you'll see Santa Claus everywhere. It's about elves and presents and trees with lights, and it's about the ornaments, and it's about hot cocoa, you know, and it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? That's what it's communicated. However, I think the message of Christmas is the most important message that man has ever received. And it's just like the devil to try and cloud it up, to try and distract from it. Now, is there anything wrong with Christmas trees and presents and lights and things? No, nothing wrong with that. But that's not the message of Christmas, though. The message of Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, this is the message. We're looking at John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 through 21. We know John 3:16 very, very well. It's a very familiar passage, but here is the message of Christmas. John chapter 3, and verse number 16, down through verse number 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here is the message. Why did Jesus come? Jesus didn't come why the angels proclaimed to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at that in the morning service. Wasn't to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Hope for mankind, the grace of God, all of these things. And here's number one this morning as we look at this passage. Number one is that God gave His Son in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He came from the high and holy halls of heaven and condescended down to the level of man. That still is just, to me at least, something that is completely dumbfounding. That He who had all glory and splendors beyond all imagination would come, and not only that, would not, and maybe, you know, it will be a condescension for Him to be born into the most splendid palace in all the world at that time. And still, it would be a great condescension. It would be a great downgrade, if you will, from what he had in heaven. But not only that, he was born in the most humble and in the most simple of circumstances, born in a stable. Was born in a stable and was laid in a manger, which was made to hold the hay for the livestock. Instead of being born in the most prominent place in all the earth, he was born in the lowliest place on earth. That is amazing. That is amazing. It's an amazing, and we should never ever have a situation where we're proud and we're saying, well, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. You know, that is beneath me when we see what Jesus did. We see when Jesus washed the apostles' feet that they were, or the disciples' feet, he was being a servant. Jesus came at the express desire and timing of his heavenly Father. By the way, it wasn't an accident that Jesus came. Jesus came at the right time, at the right place in the history of man, exactly when God wanted him to come, exactly when God planned for him to come, and he came exactly on time. God had a plan to redeem man from the terrible the consequences of sin, because sin had brought shame, had brought a curse, had brought destruction, violence, deception, and it had brought judgment, the death, and we saw the flood of the book of Genesis, the flood of Noah's day, and we see that was judgment for sin. And on, we see judgment over and over again for sin. And all the evil and violence that we see today is because of sin. And Jesus came to save mankind from that, to save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. The reaction of God does not make sense to us. The fleshly way of thinking is that we do not have any hope. We've offended God. That's it. We're over. It's done. You know, there's no way to come back from that. There's no way for us to be free from where we are, and that we should just be written off and destroyed with lightning bolts of holiness that emanate from the throne of God. You know, that's how we view it, but we see that God loves us and wants to redeem us. We justly deserve death because of our sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and for all of sin it comes from the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All the sins that we're guilty of, not just the sins of the previous generations and other evil men, but of our personal sin. Jesus came to save mankind, not just the past, not just the future, but all generations can find salvation in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. That is the true message of Christmas. Because we all deserve to be consumed with God's holiness. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his desire. His desire is for all to be saved. His desire is for people not to go into the pits of hell to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:9, what I just quoted to you, communicates to us the desire of God to see people reconciled to himself. We looked a couple weeks ago at reconciliation, and that God wants everyone to be reconciled to him. And the only way that could be accomplished was through Jesus Christ. Number two, and that's why Jesus came. God gave a son, and Jesus came to save. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came on that still night in Bethlehem and was born in that humble situation. He didn't come to rule and have an earthly kingdom, though he will someday. He didn't come to judge the earth, though he will someday. He did not come to condemn the world, though he will judge and condemn the world one day. But this was the time of man's salvation. This was the time of man's hope. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Jesus came to save you from your sin. And I saw, was looking through thing, and I saw, so now Danny, it's a proper way to pronounce this, a meme. Is that how we say it? Is that correct? Okay, Danny said, Pastor, it's meme, not mem. It's a meme. Okay, so it's a meme, and it was a picture of a sheep, and it said, I am the one that Jesus left the 99 to save. And that's the thing, do you think of that All of us really are that. We are the one that Jesus left the 99 to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. Think about that. You know, some of us, maybe we grew up in church or we grew up in a Christian home, we got saved. Some of us, maybe not, that we were in a different situation. We were in a hard situation. But God, it doesn't matter the hard situation you were in, the matter of the situation that the terrible, sinful situation or the dangerous situation, whatever it was, Jesus came and you were able to call upon Him for salvation. He saved you. And you're one of those, the ones that want that Jesus left the 99 to go and to save. Amen. And that's why He came. Jesus came and became sin for us on the cross. He was beaten. He was whipped, was crucified, was mocked. He bled on the cross. He died on the cross for one reason, to set us free from sin, to save us from sin. All that sin that we committed was laid upon Him, and He paid for it with His blood. He died so that we all could go free. And so, well, Pastor, we know all this. I know it's good to be reminded about it. It's good to be reminded because it's something that we should have, we'd hold in awe. We begin to think about it. We think of our guilt and our shame. And so, well, I don't like to think about that. You know what? I believe it's a good thing for us. The devil brings it up, I understand. But I think it's a good thing sometimes to think about the mistakes that we have done and realize Jesus saved us from them. Amen. Because sometimes we forget all the things that we have done. I know sometimes we spend our life trying to run for things that we have done. I know that Jesus saved them. They're as far as the east is from the west. But remember, we did need to be saved from something. And when we see that, we can have a thankfulness and appreciation to the Lord for what He has done. He paid, He died that we all could go free, and He paid for the death sentence that all of us had. We all were condemned. We all were on death row because of our sin. But Jesus paid for that sin. Not just some of our sin, all of our sin. Jesus came that night to save you. And the third part of the message here, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that brings number three, that Jesus is the only light. Jesus is the only light. Well, there's many lights in the world, Pastor. There's many paths to God. I mean, there's many different religions, and they all have their deity. And there's many lights, and there's many paths to God, and it's all really God anyway. And there is something that I believe that even in conservative Christianity, this kind of thought has been pronounced is... there was a series of books done by a prominent Christian author. May have read C.S. Lewis's books. I believe he was a Christian man, but I do not agree with his series called The Chronicles of Narnia. You know why? Because he promoted something in that it was an alternate, laying aside that he included all kinds of Greek mythology in it and everything, which is of demonic nature, but he included had a Christ-like figure in the form of a lion, which would be like the Lion of Judah, is a symbolism. But this was something, he said, well, you know, I take a different form in this world and then in yours. He's Jesus in our world, but in their world in Narnia, he is this lion. And you know what that thought process is that there's many paths to God, that God takes different forms. I mean, God could be Allah. And God takes the form of the Native American spirits. And He takes the form in different cultures. He takes different forms. That's not what the Bible says. We have to be very careful of that thought process because it gains popularity over the years. In that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That is very important. That is very exclusive. Christ is exclusive. There is not other paths that bring you to Christ. Christ is the only way to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And at that moment, when Jesus said that, you know who took up stones to stone Him? The Jews did. It's because they said, that's blasphemous. That you're the only way. Really, that the only way is through the Son of God. You're saying you're the Son of God. Yes. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus wasn't just a good person. Jesus wasn't just a prophet, though he was all of those things. He was the very Son of God, sent and given for mankind. Why? Because everyone has sinned. And we see here, going down here, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light's coming to the world. Guess what? You don't see if you're dirty if you're in the dark all the time. You know, if you're out in the woods in the dark in the middle of the night, yeah, you can get dirty. You won't know it because you can't see your clothes, right? You can't see that your hands are dirty, your face is dirty, your hair is dirty, your boots are muddy. There, combining words there. It's new contraction. Muddy boots or moots. But anyway, but have muddy boots or muddy shoes or whatever it is, we don't see it because we don't have light to see with our eyes unless you have a flashlight. But guess what? When the sun comes up and maybe you were outside or doing something where the sun comes up, you're not going to see that until when the sun comes up, you begin to see that your boots are dirty and your shirt's dirty and your hands are dirty and your face is dirty. It's like, oh, you know, this is not good. And people who are lost are walking in darkness. They don't see. But when Jesus comes, the light comes and shows them, guess what? We're dirty. We're sinful. We're dirty with sin. And Jesus is that light to show us that. But not only that, he shows us that light, but then he cleanses us from our sin if we call upon him. For he's faithful and just to cleanse our sins, or to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we confess them, we come to Christ and confess our sin. Every day if we're to keep a right relationship with God, but to be saved, it's a one-time thing to come before him. And that baptism and good works can't get you to heaven. There's not other lights. You know why people say, well, there's many paths to God? Because they don't like the path that Jesus requires. They don't like the requirement that they have to be right with God. They don't like the requirement that they must confess their sin. Well, there's other paths here. I can believe in my mystic being and still be right with God. It doesn't work that way. The Bible doesn't say that. And we stick with what the Bible says because this is God's Word. There's no other light in the world besides Jesus Christ. There's a saying that, well, inside every man, every person, there's a light inside of every person, and we just have to discover that light and build that light and shine so the world can see. That sounds real good, but it's not true. In every man is darkness. Only person who has a light in them is a person who has saved and trusted Jesus Christ, and Jesus has put a light in their heart and in their life. And it's not our light, it's the light of the Holy Spirit, it's the light of God. And that is only if you are saved. But people who are lost in their sin, they don't have light. If they had light, they wouldn't need Jesus to come. If we wouldn't need all of these things. You know, I ask people this. Do you believe your works save you? Oh, yes, I was baptized and all of that. And I said, well, that's great. Well, let me ask you a question. So did Jesus come and die on the cross? Yes. Did Jesus come and die on the cross for your sin? Yes. Well, wait a minute. I thought you just said you were baptized. Then why did Jesus have to die if you can work your way there? I've asked everyone that believes in work salvation, why did Jesus have to die? They cannot answer me. Well, I have to believe, it's belief and, no, it's either one or the other. Because if you can do works, then you can work your way there. If it's of Jesus Christ, then your works mean nothing. Can't combine the two. It's not of works, it's through Jesus Christ. Man only has darkness inside of him, and Jesus is the only light. According to the passage here, there's two types of people. People who do not want their sin revealed by the light of God's holiness. And when Christ reveals that sin and the desperate situation that they find themselves in, they run from it, or they want to come to Christ and be cleansed from their sin. You must realize that you're in need of being saved. And that person, they run from it. And that's exactly what happened with the Pharisees. There were many who accepted Christ, but the Pharisees didn't accept him because they didn't want the light. And that's exactly what he did. He proclaimed what was in their heart of their lust and all their fleshly desires. He proclaimed the light that they needed But they rejected it, and instead they sought to have him killed. But then there were others, his disciples, that they accepted that light. They wanted hope. They wanted the peace that Jesus could offer with God. They wished to have their sins seen so that it might be cleansed from it. And we run into these people all the time. And at Christmas time, and I mention this all the time, that there are people everywhere. And this was sad. I was actually yesterday at Walmart. And this is the situation that a lot of people find themselves in. This is a sad thing. Is that I was in the baby section. I was looking at some toys there. They had them, you know, right in the middle of the aisle. I was getting some formula. I said, hey, you know, that looks like a toy that maybe Timothy or Philip would like or something. And so I was looking at it. And there was a couple there. And they had a little girl. And they were just looking at some things like, oh, we can't find the price on it. So I was kind of joking with them a little bit. Yeah, so, well, they don't give you the price in there, so you take it up to the front to find out what the price is, and then you can't take it all the way back. So I was kind of joking with them a little bit. I thought that was funny. And so I'm just kind of looking around, and then they were leaving, and the mom says to the daughter, okay, well, Daddy's leaving. Daddy's got to go now. Say bye. And so they said bye. I didn't think much about it. And then a little later on in the store, I saw that same guy, but he was with another woman. And I was like, okay, this is different. And so it was with another woman, and you know they were holding hands, walking down. I said, because I thought he was like going to work or something. That's what you'd usually think, but that's not what was going on. Is that they used to be married or together? Now he was with somebody else, and that's the world we live in. But that, you know, what I saw later though, as I saw them walking down, I saw the mom with that little girl by themselves. A little girl looking at her dad walking with another woman. And just says, like, this is why we wonder why our children are confused today. And today, we need to understand that all of these things that we see, there's not a lot of light out there. And we need to share the light that's in Jesus Christ. And when we're out and about, when we're at the cashier, or when we're just talking to people, are we taking tracts and we saying, you know, Merry Christmas, we just wanted to give you this. Will you read it? Will you seek to understand it? If you have questions about it, you know, call the number on the back. And so give them light, their packets of light, and that people can be saved. So the gift of salvation. And there are some that are going to try and diminish the message. I don't know if you saw in California, they had a nativity scene. And they had people try and make a political statement with it. Is they put the baby Jesus in a cage over here and then Mary and Joseph over here in another cage to protest, you know, separation at the border and these different things. You know, that's diminishing the message of Christ. That's diminishing the message. And you see a lot of other messages that are diminished in our world today. We see a lot of other messages. We see the message of the virgin birth diminished today. In that, that's not, we don't want to believe in that. If Jesus wasn't virgin born, he couldn't be our Savior, because the Bible says, as by the sin of one man, the sin of one man, sin entered into the world, and the death of one, Jesus Christ, sin was forgiven. But if Jesus had an earthly father, if Joseph was Jesus' earthly father, he would have a sin nature and could not be our Savior. We have to understand. Hey, Caleb, can you take him out if he's not going to behave himself, please? Thank you. Take him out in the hallway. Thank you. The message of Christmas, like, oh, yes, it is Christmas. You know, what do we see the other diminishing? Happy holidays, right? Because we don't want to offend anybody, right? Because it's about the holiday. It's about the time off. It's about what we can get or give to somebody. It's about all of these things. It's about the ornaments. It's about the singing of songs. It's about all the other things. But it's not about Jesus, though. It's just about the holiday. That's diminishing the message of Christ. And I said, well, why does the world want to diminish the message of Christmas? Why? For one very simple reason. The devil hates God. And the devil hates, and the devil is the Lord of this world, and the devil doesn't want people to be thinking about Jesus Christ any time of the year. But when we celebrate his birth, And this is why he came in that joyous proclamation, which we're going to look at in the morning service. What do we think of when we think of Christmas? Do we think of all the festivities? There's a lot of joy there. Nothing wrong with having time with family. Nothing wrong with all of these things. But that is a byproduct of the true joy we have in Jesus Christ. Are we giving out the message? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Will you accept Him today and accept that light and accept what Jesus did for you on the cross? And maybe you make a commitment in your family. So you know what? We're going to focus on Christ at Christmas time. And not going to focus on all the other things, but we're going to focus on Jesus, on Christ. One of the ways you can do that, a lot of families do this, before you open presents on Christmas Day, why we give gifts is because it's a picture of the gift of God in salvation. Before you open Christmas gifts, you read the Christmas story, read Luke chapter 2, and remind and pray and thank the Lord for salvation, which is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And that, and teach your children that Christmas is not about the gifts and the Christmas tree, but it's about Jesus Christ. That's very important. I understand that's an important part to them. I mean, I was a kid and I remember sitting up at night, can't wait for Christmas morning. I can't wait. You know, what did I get? You know, it's an exciting thing to get gifts and things. And what are we going to get? And, you know, what, and then to see other people open up the gifts you got. And that's an exciting thing. But what we have to do is we have to remember, my dad always stopped us and said, okay, before we open up any present, we're going to read the Christmas story, and gave us a picture of what Christmas is truly about.